Welcome and thank you for joining us on our This Week in State Tax podcast. My name is Harley Duncan, and I'm with the state and local team in KPMG's Washington National Tax Office. On today's podcast, we're going to take a look at several new, and in one case, unique tax that Illinois has enacted to put its budget together for fiscal year 2027. Among the measures we will discuss are a targeted advertising tax, a social media platform fee, a tax on certain digital asset transactions, and adding some activities to the scope of sports wagering tax in the land of Lincoln. The bill enacting these tax changes was enacted by the General Assembly in the wee hours of June 1, 2026, and signed into law on June 16 by Governor Pritzker. The captain of our ship through these rather choppy waters will be Drew Olson, a managing director in our Chicago KPMG office, and our State Tax Resource Network specialist for indirect taxes in Illinois and the city of Chicago. Drew's no stranger to our podcast. This is his fourth appearance on the podcast, and he's the proud recipient of our This Week in State Tax podcast smoking jacket. Welcome, Drew.
Thanks, Harley. Appreciate it.
You bet. As far as I know, Illinois is the first and only state to impose a tax on digital transactions. In other words, Illinois is either out in front on this or out there all alone, depending on how you want to look at it. What is it? How does it work? What are you hearing about it?
Yeah, this is going to be a unique tax. It's a tax on the transfer or storage of digital assets. NFTs and cryptocurrency. It's imposed on brokers that have greater than $100,000 of gross receipts from digital assets. So in some way, it's sort of an expansion of Wayfair, because now we're expanding, instead of sales of tangible personal property, we have sales of intangibles now over $100,000. And they're defining a broker under the Internal Revenue Code 645C1D, which is defined to include anyone who, for consideration, regularly provides services that effectuate transfers of digital assets on behalf of another person. So effectively, this is subjecting crypto platforms and digital asset middlemen to reporting requirements at this time. The tax is 0.2% on the value of the asset. So if you buy $1 million in crypto, you're going to pay a $2,000 tax.
Well, it's on the value of the asset, not the gross proceeds to the broker of whatever their share of it is for handling the transfer.
That's the startling part about this. And I think this is what's gotten some of the larger brokers in Chicago and Illinois particularly upset, is that it's on the value of the digital asset itself. So it's not on the net income. And there's been some discussions by those in this area that in some instances, they're not even making a 0.2% margin. And this effectively will wipe out any kind of margins on trading.
I assume that somehow we have to make sure there's an Illinois connection to this transfer. What are the sourcing or nexus rule limits that would confine it to Illinois activity?
Great question. If you are dealing with somebody in Illinois that has an Illinois address, an Illinois telephone number, an IP address, it's presumed to be an Illinois transaction. The act even goes so far as say any other data showing a place of primary use in Illinois. A lot of the Chicago laws and some of the Illinois laws in dealing with intangibles are usually sourced under the Mobile Telecommunications Act. So if I have a bill to address, the presumption is Illinois. So I think it's something along those lines. But it goes so far as if you don't have that, but you have an Illinois IP address, the presumption is it's Illinois.
It could be problematic for a broker, I suspect. And they should likely have address and similar information, but they're not going to be in possession of as much information as a lot of people involved in transactions, say with mobile telecommunications or social media, that sort of thing. Anything else that we should know about the digital asset transaction tax?
You know, no regulations. Again, this was something that was promulgated by the legislature, not the Department of Revenue. So the Department of Revenue hasn't been able to share much of any guidance yet. So there's been nothing really promulgated on this. So it's going to be interesting to see if what platforms get picked up. I can think of some platforms that are payment processors now that allow you to buy cryptocurrency. And it would appear under the plain definition that if I have a hosted wallet or a payment processor that allows me to buy crypto, that they are subject to this tax in addition to the traditional brokers. So I think it's going to cast a little bit wider net than I believe the legislature really intended.
Do I recall January 1, 2027?
It is effective 1/1/27. Unlike some of the other laws that passed as part of this omnibus bill that are effective July 1st, which we'll talk about in a few minutes.
Okay, well, we'll all want to keep our eye on that along with 49 other state tax administrations. But thank you very much. So let's move to somewhat calmer waters, or at least where a few other people have tread. What's done in the targeted advertising area where we have Maryland, Utah, Washington State that have acted? And also there's a social media platform that's a statewide thing that looked to me anyway, at first glance, pretty much like this city of Chicago one that was passed a while back. What about these two measures?
We've got a targeted advertising services tax. It's not a digital advertising tax. It's a targeted advertising service tax. So effectively, if a advertiser is using my personal information that they've obtained from other sources to particularly tailor an ad to me, that is now subject to this 10% tax if the provider has more than $1 million of gross receipts from targeting advertising services. And the tax rate's 10%. It is effective 1/1/27, like the section we just talked about. Targeted advertising services means, at least as I defined it, any programmatic written, oral, or graphic statement representation conveyed through a digital interface or any other method of delivery, including but not limited to banner advertising and search engine advertising. The one good thing about this bill is it does preempt home rule units of government in Illinois from imposing a similar type of tax. So it effectively says the state tax trumps all.
Do they exclude print media, broadcast media?
Illinois does have a news print media exemption in its constitution. So then advertising that's done through a news outlet is excluded or exempt.
And so what they're trying to do is broaden it a bit to be targeted advertising service, define that, and not say the word digital. Use this programmatic language, which I've read somewhere has shown up in Maryland litigation that we can mention in a bit as to how you would distinguish this and trying to get around some concern about just saying digital advertising. I got it. The platform fee?
This is really going to be interesting to me. The platform fee, it's a social media platform fee. So it's a fee, not a tax. And it's going to be administered by the Secretary of State, not the Illinois Department of Revenue. And I'm struggling because the Secretary of State really doesn't have an audit function. And basically, they administer the Illinois franchise tax and the Department of Motor Vehicles and Business Licensing. So I think that's why they called it a fee. And it's a hefty fee. It's 10 cents per user for any platform that has more than 100,000 users and less than 500 users. If it's over 500,000 users, it's 40,000 a month plus 25 cents a user over 500,000, less than a million. And if you're over a million users, it's 165,000 a month plus 50 cents per user over 1 million. So it's not an inconsequential fee, and especially for the larger social media platforms. It hasn't, again, this is one that was dropped in late in the bill and wasn't really well discussed. So there's not a lot of chatter around this yet, other than the social media platforms I've spoken with are concerned about it. I fully expect this to be challenged under the Internet Tax Freedom Act, under the Formity Clause of the Illinois Constitution. This very well could be held up a while. This was, I said, promulgated by the legislature and not the Illinois Department of Revenue. And it's being administered by the Secretary of State of all. So for those of you who've dealt with Illinois Secretary of State with the franchise tax, this is going to be challenging.
Are the rates higher than the city of Chicago? When I first read them, I wasn't sure I read them right. Then I went back and read them again. And I agree. Hefty would be a word, I think, that is correct.
Yeah. The Chicago social media amusement tax is 50 cents monthly per user over 100,000 users. So this is going to be a little bit heftier in terms of the tax. And it'll be interesting if the state will allow the tax to be administered both by the Secretary of State for the state level tax and then by Chicago on the social media amusement tax, if both taxes will apply.
Interesting. And I assume we've got the same language with respect to confining it to Illinois users that just broke it out of the Chicago language so somebody would know what they were looking for.
Both for the Targeted Advertising Services Act and the social media platform fee. If the IP address is in Illinois, there's going to be a presumption it's in Illinois. If you have an Illinois bill to address, it's effectively all the same sourcing rules.
Yeah. All right. You mentioned that social media platform fee has been challenged.
Yes, it has been. And nothing substantive come out of it at this point. Effectively, the case was filed. The city responded. There's really only been administrative type hearings, but nothing on the substance yet. So this is probably going to take a year at least to get to any kind of material outcome.
You had mentioned a couple of minutes ago about the Maryland digital advertising tax, which is what they called it, has been subject to litigation, both in federal court with respect to one matter that I don't think is present here, and then in the state courts with respect to violating the Internet Tax Freedom Act, the Commerce Clause, and a variety of things. The targeted advertising services tax is probably a bit more refined in terms of the definition, but I would think that Illinois has to be anticipating that they would likely see some litigation on the ability of that to withstand an internet tax freedom challenge or commerce clause and the like. So I think both of those will have to play out. As we talked before, in Maryland, they are still collecting the tax on an estimated or pay it under protest approach. And is that what Chicago has been doing with its social media platform tax?
Yeah, and social media amusement tax. There's so many of them.
Yes.
But yeah, my understanding and the clients I've spoken to are paying under protest. So they are remitting and paying under protest. I know of a couple clients that are waiting to see what happens overall. But the ones that are making payments are paying under protest. On the social media platform, they define it as a fee for an internet medium that A, permits a person to become a registered user, establish an account, or create a profile. B, enables user to generate content that can be viewed by others. And C, primarily serves as a medium for users to interact with content generated by users. Nonprofit organizations are not included in the definition of social media platform. So while it is similar to the city of Chicago, it doesn't require that the platform be charging a fee. And it's noteworthy that the law itself prohibits the social media platform from passing on the cost to their users.
It's really kind of interesting. Usually, if you look at litigation as to what's a tax and what's a fee, the fee is related to the service provided by the government. And in your list of services provided of registering, exchanging information, establishing an account, I don't hear much government service there. But those will both have to play out, I suspect. How about we move on then to what's being done to expand the types of activities that are subject to the sports wagering tax?
There's two recent expansions to that, and it's noteworthy that both of these are effective July 1st. So the state didn't give any time for taxpayers to update their systems. The first one is really impacting prediction markets. And effectively, if I go on a prediction market and I'm going to predict that the weather's going to be over 100 degrees today, that's not going to get picked up under the Sports Wagering Act. But if I place a prediction, not a bet, that is on the outcome of a game, then that is now going to be picked up under the Sports Wagering Act. Even though that entity may not be regulated by Illinois under the gaming authority, but the tax will be somewhere between 1.75% and 3.5%, depending upon the number of wagers that that platform gets within a fiscal year. The second one, I had to read it a few times. It's on fantasy contests. I'm a fantasy football guy, and I thought, oh no, now I've got to charge 15% tax to my players. But this is really meant to capture platforms that take a rake, take a VIG. So if I pay $100, they're taking a percentage of that. That's going into a pot. And so whatever they collect, less what they paid out, is their net income, is subject to a 15% tax. They're saying on the adjusted gross fantasy contest receipts. So specifically, that's defined as the gross entry fees collected from participants in Illinois minus the in-state pro rata share of payouts. They're going after the fantasy football platforms, the fantasy baseball, basketball platforms that allow you to effectively enter to wagers, even though historically those were defined as contests that involved skill and weren't subject to an unknown outcome that you were in control of. They were a contest of skill between two or more participants for an entry fee. So I have talked to a few clients on this, and it's picked up a few that I didn't anticipate were engaged in this activity. This is something that's getting a lot of attention as well. And it's a 15% tax, and it's effective 7/1/26, July 1st.
Anything else we ought to know in this whole area, Drew, before we close off?
Yeah, just the only other thing is there's a hotel marketplace facilitators change that also is effective July 1st of 26. The bill amended the current law to make hotel marketplace facilitators responsible for collection of the hotel operator's occupation tax. Before July 1st of 26, either party could remit it as long as it was remitted, or the hotel could remit on their share and the facilitator could remit on their share. At this point, effective July 1st, the marketplace selling hotel space is responsible for collecting the hotel operator's occupation tax and remitting it in full to the Department of Revenue. And the only other thing I think that's really worth mentioning, there was some discussion about limiting the benefits for data centers, and that was fully expected to be in this bill. It was not in the bill, but about a week after this came out, Governor Pritzker, under an executive order, stayed all the benefits or for new applicants effective July 1st. So we're waiting to get some guidance. If you're in the pipeline but haven't been approved yet, are you good or do you have to be approved before July 1st? It's pretty clear, though, that after July 1st, they're not accepting new applications and they're not going to be extending the data center benefits, sales tax benefits for building materials and for equipment to new data centers coming into the state. They're going to take some time to evaluate Illinois' energy needs and the benefits that these data centers are bringing to the state.
Well, thank you very much, Drew. Thanks for navigating us through what's pretty much like the Straits of Hormuz, I suspect. You and others involved in any aspect of these, or particularly you in all aspects of all of them, have a really busy period ahead of you. We'll be watching these developments pretty carefully. I mentioned that Drew was the first person to have appeared on our podcast four times, and some other firsts that have occurred in Illinois include the first Ferris wheel at the Columbian Exposition of 1893 in Chicago, the first skyscraper, the Home Insurance Building in Chicago, which was all of 10 stories when built. And I think this may be challenged by some, but the first ice cream sundae was purportedly created in Evanston, Illinois, to circumvent the blue laws that forbade the sale of ice cream sodas on Sunday. And as of this minute, if you're looking for a tip for your prediction, the Chicago White Sox are in first place in the American League Central Division after losing more than 100 games in each of the last 2 years. Take that for what it's worth. But thanks very much, Drew. Really informative. I'm sure we'll be back to you on this at another point in time. And thank you to the listeners. We'll see you on another podcast soon. Thank you.
Harley, thanks for having me.